Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who?
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not?
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Okay, we're back, and we just finished covering up UFC Fight Night with Rory McDonald versus Wonderboy. And now we're going to talk about some of the other fights that kind of went on during that during the weekend. The fight's on Friday. It started off with Bellator 156. Now, what was your take on 156 as a whole?
As a whole, I thought it was not as exciting as I wanted to be. I liked the last three fights of the card with John Salter getting the win and then cheating in Njokani with his third round TKO. And I did like how the main event concluded, but as a whole, I didn't like the card as much as I thought it would.
Okay. It just seems like for some reason, the main events on Bellator, I think, are most times pretty decent. But the undercards are just becoming very uneventful. My heart was just not in it. It was just tough to watch. The main event I was kind of excited about, and the whole storyline and how things turned out. But as a whole, I was not overly pleased with the entire card, but the main event. And I'm going to pass it to you to give me your take on it first, and then I'll follow back up on the main event.
I liked some of the fights in terms of the matchup styles that were put against each other, but as far as the fighters like really committing, I mean maybe they should change up the incentive program so that there's more bonuses at the end so that you can get more exciting fights. But as far as the main event, I really liked it. I thought that Dantas just really evolved and showed a different level, that he just cemented that he has Galvao's number.
I agree. I just felt like it was, the young student finally showing that he has truly surpassed his teacher. He was just too fast, too active, and just too much for him. Sometimes it's kind of tough to see two friends or go at it like this. But in the end, Dantas was just way too much for him.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for his win. I hope that they can get some more contenders to fight against him. I think I would want to see the Warren fight, but there's some good prospects in Bellator that can give him a fight.
Okay, now leaving that one makes me roll right into, we're talking about Bellator. We're gonna roll right into the World Series of Fighting, and it's a good tie-in because of the fact that you had the heavyweight champion of Bellator up until this past May, where he was stripped. And I didn't understand, if he was going to be fighting in June, why wait till May to strip him of the title? Wait another month and have him defend the title in Bellator. But Bellator ended up stripping Vitaly
Minnikov.
They stripped Vitaly of this title in May, and he was ready to go. And so he ended up signing with World Series of Fighting, and he had a fight here. And I thought he looked great. He looked strong. He looked healthy. He came in there, and you know, he won with an armbar within the first minute and 30 seconds. He looked impressive.
Yeah, I'm not sure why Bellator made that decision. I thought that he had some great fights lined up in Bellator, but I was really impressed with him this weekend and how he was able to take it to the ground and just submit him and so quickly.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like it was the week of Bellator champions who was stripped in May, all had big news. You know, you had Vitaly Minnikov, who fought in World Series and had a really impressive showing. And then it was also an announcement about Will Brooks actually signing with the UFC. And, you know, the thing with Will Brooks is the fact that Will Brooks, even when he was a champ in Bellator, kept saying he made no bones about where he wanted to be. He wanted to be in the UFC, and they finally gave him his release. So, you know, you had the heavyweight champion who was stripped having one heck of a showing at World Series of Fighting, and then you had Will Brooks, which then signed with the UFC.
Yeah, I'm so happy that Will Brooks got let go on his contract. I think that they really didn't have any plans for him at Bellator, so he just chose, they wouldn't line him up for any fights, so I was really happy that he finally got into the UFC where he can face truly the best of the best, and he's starting off with Ross Pearson, who is no slouch standing up. So that's going to be an exciting fight that I'm really looking forward to as well.
Now, I do think Will Brooks made one big mistake, though. And I think it's going to end up costing him big time. And that is, while he was the Bellator champ, he only had a couple more fights on his contract. Instead of making it so obvious that he wants to leave and he wants to go to the UFC or nowhere else, I think it really put him in a bad place, because instantly it was like, okay, they stripped him of his title, they let him out of his contract, Dana and everybody knew, like, hey, he wants to come here, so there was no threat of him staying at Bellator, Bellator's out. There was no interest, no threat of him going to the World Series or anywhere else, because everyone knew he wanted to come to the UFC. So where was his negotiating power to get him a really great contract, which I think he could have gotten, maybe not a blockbuster contract, but I think he could have gotten a decent contract by leveraging Bellator and World Series against the UFC.
Yeah, there wasn't really that much political savviness to his decision. But honestly, I think he just wanted to fight. I mean, that's the main thing. He wants to fight the best of the best. He wasn't happy with his situation, and he just couldn't hold it in anymore. And while his pay might reflect that, at least he's where he wants to be.
Okay, and I agree with you on that one. He definitely wanted to test his skills against the best of the best. And that's, you know, and so he showed where his heart was at, and I applaud him for that part. I just think you could kind of get where your heart wants to be, and you could get a little bit extra cash.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to move on. I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And we're going to talk about a totally different division. We normally stick to a few different divisions around here. UFC, World Series of Fighting, Bellator, Invicta, and one championship. I don't normally stretch further than that. But to this weekend, you know, we're going to add one, an exception to that rule today. we're going to talk about the Eurasian Fighting League here, which they had their event. It was a Eurasian Fight Night Global number 50 out of St. Petersburg, Russia, which actually featured one of William's all-time favorite guys, which is Fedor. And this was a very special fight for Fedor because he was fighting in his hometown of St. Petersburg, his home country, and this was going to be his last fight before according to everything he's saying, it was going to be his last fight before he goes to the UFC, which everyone's been wanting to see Fedor come to the UFC. So he has his big net match in his home country, and his hometown, and I'll go right back to what I say every single time. Don't fight in your hometown. Don't go home. Fight anywhere but home. There's too much responsibilities, and there's too many things that can go wrong, and this was no difference. Fedor won the fight. I'm going to say allegedly won the fight. This fight was kind of a joke, in my opinion. I was really upset about this fight. So I'm going to give you the breakdown, and then I'm going to pass it over to the world's biggest Fedor fan over here next. Fedor, the fight started out. Fedor jumped on
Maldonado,
and he jumped on him right away. He put a lot of pressure on him, and then he came in, and he got nailed. I mean, he got cracked. Fedor fell, and Maldonado jumped on him, and he started to pound him. I mean, pound him hard. Fedor went out. I mean, out cold for like a split second. This was a huge Russian crowd. This is in Russia. The announcers were overwhelmingly for Fedor. And the announcers were screaming, "Stop the fight! Stop the fight!" And the referee wouldn't stop the fight. Fedor got woke up by getting punched in the face. Came to, got knocked out again, got woken up again with another shot. The guy was on Fedor. In my lifetime, very few fights I ever see that there's a 10-7 round scored in one round in mixed martial arts. This was a 10-7 round. It should have been stopped twice, maybe three times. But, you know, this referee, I don't know if he was incompetent or corrupt. And I say the latter. I hate using that word when dealing with the UFC or MMA. But this fight has nothing to do with the UFC. But I just was wondering, corrupt or incompetency? This fight kept on. Fedor ended up surviving the round. I mean, staggering over his corner, took a major beating. And then we'll talk about the final outcome. But I want to make sure William gets his take. And this is no real slam against Fedor, because Fedor has been a legend. Fedor is a love fighter. I'm just talking about what happened in this particular fight.
Yeah, when you're looking at, let me just start off by saying that the EFN promotion, Eurasia Fight Night promotion, they really put on a show in terms of the theatrics that they had and some of the lead up to the fight.
They did. I can't lie on that one.
Yeah, but as far as the fights go and some of the things that went on in the fight, I definitely can't agree with. As a longtime Fedor fan, it was just really sad seeing him that way. I saw him lose a step in his first match out of retirement, and I was like, okay, he's got a couple good fights in him left. And in terms of good fights, I mean by performances to be proud of, given all that you have and all the where you are in your career, I thought that he did relatively well. But as far as this fight, I was just really saddened because it should have been stopped twice in the first round. And then when you talk about I was watching something in the corner where one of his cornermen was trying to put something in his nose. It was a type of salt or something, and they did the same to Maldonado, but Maldonado refused it and knocked it away. And there's just a lot of shady things that were going on in that, especially given the ref. And I just can't agree with it. And if you look at that, In terms of the fight as a whole, I definitely don't think that Fedor won.
Now, tell me this. Am I exaggerating when I said Fedor got knocked out and then woke up with a punch? Am I exaggerating?
No, he went limp.
Yes, he went out. He went out, got knocked out. If this was a UFC, I picture Herb Dean diving in to save Fedor because he's unconscious. But this referee wouldn't let him go out. So the other guy, so he got knocked awake. I'd never seen that before. He got knocked out and woke up in a fight. I'd never seen that before.
I've seen it very shortly. Like, I've seen it a lot in terms of they get hit and the fight stopped, but they wake up right after. You see that a lot. But in this one, he got hit, he woke up, got hit again, went to sleep, got woken up by another punch, stood up, he had some spaghetti legs, he couldn't even stand right, and the referee wasn't even stopping him, even though, I mean, Fedor was spinning around trying to just survive in there. And credit to him, he was able to, he had a lot of heart, and he showed that throughout his career and in that fight, but that's not what it's about. If you're not defending yourself intelligently, the fight should be stopped.
That could have been a really dangerous situation. That could have easily turned into a life-threatening situation, the way that referee let that fight keep going on.
Yeah, I'm just happy that Fedor is alive, to be honest. That was really bad.
And folks, we're talking about the guy who won the fight. He actually won the fight. Now, give me your take, William, on, because I scored that a 10-7 round. Even if you made it a 10-8 round, if you make that a 10-8 round and Fedor wins the next two rounds, that calls for a draw. The best Fedor could get was a draw at a 10-8 round, and I had Fedor winning the second round. I mean, not Fedor winning the second round, but I can't get his name right.
Fabio
won. I thought he won the first round and the second round, which leaves the third round. So how the heck did he win?
If you look at in the history of mixed martial arts, there really aren't that many rounds that were as one-sided as that one. The only ones that I recall from my memory were Gray Maynard and Edgar, where he knocked him down three times. I mean, you can talk about Damian Maia dominating Gunnar Nelson, but in terms of damage and how many times this fight could have been stopped, I mean, you can make an argument that it was a 10-6 round. It was that bad.
Yeah, I don't think you can give a 10-6 round. I'm thinking about the regular boxing rules and UFC rules. I think the worst you can get is a 10-7 round. But if there was a such thing as a 10-6 round, that's a 10-6 round. I mean, that was a beatdown. I've never seen anyone get beat down quite like that. Now, I got to give Fedor credit. The fact of the matter that Fedor was able to stand, I mean, now he might have been barely able to stand, but he was able to stand up. I was shocked on just that.
Yeah, it was just upsetting to me. I mean, I want better for him at this point in his career. I don't know what keeps him driving. It's that competitive spirit, maybe some financial problems, but it's time, Fedor. It's time to hang it up.
That's not happening, dude. Fedor's coming to the UFC. And with the fact that Fedor's coming to the UFC off of a loss like this, first thing I'm going to tell you is, even if Fedor is coming to the UFC, I think they should make a mandatory, give him some extended time off, because he took some brain trauma in this fight. He needs some extended time off. Bring Fedor back maybe sometime next year, but don't have Fedor fight this year. I think that he should be forbidden to even spell UFC whatsoever until 2017.
Yeah, he needs to take at least a year off, because that you're not going to recover from that in that short of time, and you're going to face a huge step up in competition. And let's be honest, Maldonado is a light heavyweight, and we've seen how he does it against a true heavyweight in Stipe Miocic. And if we're talking about the whole heavyweight landscape in the UFC, I do not see Fedor faring very well at this stage in his career at all. I hope they match him up with some up and comers from smaller organizations. Maybe try to get him some fights to really get back into it. But I really don't want to see it, and I don't want to see it this year. I don't even want to see it next year. Give me it in 2018, but I hope Fedor retires.
No, Fedor will be way too old in 2018, I think. I mean, the clock is ticking, and it's going fast. I think they should not let Fedor fight until at least give him 8 months off. Give him a nice little UFC tune-up fight, and then, you know, then see what's going to happen. Because I think Fedor has... I think Fedor has a couple more fights that they're going to have, and both of them are going to be in the UFC.
Yeah, let's just say, let's just not give him any more fights, please. I don't want to see it.
We could be the prisoner of the moment because he looked so bad in this fight. And I don't know if that's the case, but I just feel like this was such a bad showing on his part, and I never want to see anyone get beat like he got beaten. And once again, we're talking about the guy who won the fight. And, you know, I don't know how you would say, I forget, what was the judge's name for this fight? Ruble 1, Rubles 2, and Rubles 3?
I don't know. It's Putin something? I don't even know.
Yeah, because these were definitely not judges that were judging in Vegas. Thank God these are not judges that judge in Vegas, because these were – I don't want to call them – I don't want to say they were – you know, I don't have any evidence that they were cheating or that there was a payoff. But I still don't understand how he won that fight. And I still don't understand how he made it out of the first round. I don't understand how he walked to his corner. I don't understand any of this.
Me neither, and I don't want to see it in the future. I don't even want to try to understand it. I wish he ended his career how he ended it a few years back when he fought Ray Seffel and won that fight. I wish he stopped there, but a fighter's heart.
Yes, this is true. Now, this was a sad occasion.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
But talking about another sad situation, there's a lot of rumors, and these are all rumors right now, that the UFC is about to be sold. There's a lot of rumors out there. We don't know. I didn't really want to report on any of them. But there hasn't been any, you know, anything official by the UFC. There hasn't been anything stated by any of the credible ones. But there's a number of different places that you see online. There's talking that the UFC is about to get sold for like $4.2 billion. Let's just say, because there's no real evidence that this is true or not. But let's just say, what happens to the UFC? How do you see this going down if this actually is true?
I mean, you have to have Dana there if you want to really keep all the momentum and keep the stature that the UFC had. He does so many things behind the scenes. He's really just a force in the sport, and if he's not there leading the charge, then they're going to face some times that they really don't want to. Some key people in the organization that should definitely stay on are Joe Silva and Sean Shelby. I mean, their matchmaking skills are you can't compare to anybody else because they're so good at it. They're so good at keeping in track of who's the best fighters and who are the best matchups out there, and really just spicing up every division. Those are some key players that you can't get rid of. And I mean, Joe Rogan's been.
I was just gonna say that. I was waiting. I was just gonna. I mean, I didn't mean to jump ahead of you, but I agree with everything you're saying. You have to figure if this sale actually goes through, you have to make it a package deal where Dana stays and Joe Rogan stays, because those two guys, they're so important to the UFC.
Yeah, I'd be really sad if we were watching a show and Joe Rogan wasn't there talking with Mike Goldberg, and I'd be sad if we never see Dana on that podium talking about some of the future outcomes and the future potential of this sport, because he really drove it from when they started in the early 2000s with Lorenzo, and they made it into a billion-dollar company. And that's not luck. That's all hard work, and that's all dedication and passion to the sport. And they are true fans of fighting, and I don't want to lose them.
You know, that's what I love most about Dana. Dana is not Roger Goodell, and I don't mean anything disrespectful to Roger Goodell, but Roger Goodell is very corporate. Dana is the polar opposite of corporate. Dana just says what he thinks, what's on his mind. You know, when you're looking around, and let's say when Miesha Tate was champ and she's saying she wants another fight here and there, it's like, well, tough crap. You know, it's just, you know, they're going to fight when I say they're going to fight. Dana just lays it out there. You know, or if a guy is like demanding a title shot and he's like, no, he's not getting a title shot. That's, you know, he's going to fight somebody else. He's not getting a title shot. I respect Dana. And, you know, imagining a UFC without those two guys would be so hard to do.
They are the perfect persona for the sport and for the entire audience, because they are fight fans before anything else. I mean, they truly love watching the best fights and the best fighters fighting each other. And that's what is amazing about the sport. And if you're looking at boxing, that's what killed it. I mean, the best aren't fighting the best, and there's a lot of political drama. But with the UFC, you always know that you're in for a show, and the best are looking to fight the best. And that's what Dana demanded, and that's what he always gets.
I agree. And with that, this concludes our show for today. I'd like to thank William for joining me again. This, like I said, was a jam-packed weekend. And so we're going to be rolling into, getting very close to UFC 200, the Ultimate Fighter finale. There's going to be a lot of things coming up very soon. On our next episode, we're going to be talking about my personal pound-for-pound rankings. So stay tuned for that. Always remember to follow us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can always download us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. With that, good night.